Our scripture today is found in Matthew chapter 26 and also in the Gospel of John. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death, but they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said, "This man is able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days." And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, "I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? We have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now Pilate knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, had said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Who is Caiaphas? He's only named a few times at the very end of Jesus' life. We have infants that are mentioning him as just mentioning high priest, but this is only one he is named. Why is he brought into this picture? Why him? He's the high priest of the nation, which made him the most important person in the whole nation, because he had the final words. So we're asking ourselves this question: why did Caiaphas not see who Jesus was? Caiaphas' view of Jesus must first be seen through two other sets of eyes. One of those is the Holy Spirit's, and the other is Satan's. For you see, this trial is the greatest moment in God's eternal plan for all of history and the whole world. Satan is happy to see the pain that would be inflicted on Jesus. But what he does not know is how the Holy Spirit intends to use this horrible suffering. And Caiaphas is the key human in this mystery and its outcome. His decision sets the final stage of the great battle against good and evil. By his own free will, he chooses to see Jesus as he wanted to see him. However, in God's providence, we find that he was given every opportunity to see Jesus in a different way. The scripture tells us that Caiaphas had heard from the very beginning about Jesus' ministry. In fact, he'd heard about John the Baptist and that John was preaching from the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And this was where Jesus was baptized. But Caiaphas had sent his spies, who were there, They heard every word, and they reported every word to him. He then began to hear the reports of Jesus' miracles, the words that he preached, the blind who were made to see, the lepers who were cleansed, demons who were cast out, and yet he never went to see any of these miracles himself. He was confronted by Jesus with the hypocrisy and the violation of God's temple, letting the money changers be right in the very courtyard of God, making it, as Jesus said, a den of thieves. Caiaphas had allowed all of this to happen. And yet, when he saw and heard this public rebuke, he saw it as a reason for why Jesus should die. Then came Caiaphas' biggest problem. When he heard the undeniable miracle of Lazarus' resurrection, seen by even some of the priests, there wasn't any way to say this had not happened. And now Caiaphas determined he had to act. He had to do something. He knew the multiple Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah's coming, and yet he was even seeing it fulfilled before his own eyes. But he did not believe. And finally, in that last trial that he performed, he knew then they could find no sin in Jesus. And yet he planned and plotted Jesus' arrest and his death, and then persuaded all of the leading priests, it says, and all of the high elders that were in the Sanhedrin to call for the death penalty, and they did. Why? With all of this knowledge and visible truths, why were his eyes so blinded? I think there's several things. First, we have to remember that Caiaphas was a political appointee. The Romans had made him the high priest. He was actually a sideline from the actual line of all the priests, but he had his position because of them, and he enjoyed that position. But he realized that that position could be threatened by what Jesus was bringing about, and he might lose his favored spot. But secondly, he had chosen to believe that Jesus was just a man. He wasn't anymore. There was no way he was divine. The only way they could explain his power was, they said, it came from the devil. Blind to what they were seeing happening right before him. He feared his loss of control because Jesus was so popular with the people. And therefore, knowingly and yet maybe even, well, for sure, unknowingly, he actually prophesied this real truth. He said it was expedient that one man should die for the people so this nation should not perish. However, the deeper truth, though, was that God had a much greater plan for the nation and more. And last of all, even Pilate saw through how fake all of this was. And it says that he knew that Caiaphas was envious. Why was he envious? He was jealous because, you see, Jesus had revealed who the real God is and what he's like. Jesus had revealed truth and people knew it. Jesus had revealed mercy and compassion. And he would state it boldly and do it boldly. And people knew it, and they loved him for it. That drew the people to him. And he knew that they could revolt and turn against Caiaphas. But Caiaphas, you see, had none of those qualities. And even worse, he had not tried to encourage the people to see the true nature of God. And that was his role as high priest. The high priest was to encourage people to come to God. The high priest was the one that made sure they came rightly before God. The high priest was the one who would direct them and the whole nature in this way to know that we have a God who is holy, but we have a God of love, and therefore as you bring your sacrifices, you find forgiveness for your sins. But no, Caiaphas had turned the sacrifices into a money-making machine. All of this had hardened his heart, and he had refused to believe the very words he was hearing, the very life that he saw. But he challenged Jesus, and Jesus respected his place as high priest, but he said, I adjure you, as the high priest, tell us, are you the Messiah? Now, Matthew quotes it as, it is as you say. Mark quotes it as, yes, I am. And he tears his robes and says, blasphemy. Can you imagine that being said to the very Son of God? And yet Jesus stood there. And then they led him to the cross. His blind eyes never united the hope of the nation and of all the scripture with faith that he was indeed who he claimed to be. What keeps us from eyes that do not see? What keeps us from a hardened heart? It's actually a lot easier than we think. Even Jesus chided his own disciples after they had seen him feed thousands of people with some small baskets of food and then collect a basket for each and every one of them. And then as they go across the water, they start wondering where they were going to get food next. And Jesus said to them, is your heart so hardened that you do not see who I am and what I can do? It's easy to begin to doubt. And if you don't bring them to Christ, our hearts can turn us in a different direction. But the answer to it is this. It is the lens of God's spoken word. It is here that the Holy Spirit thwarts the plans of the enemy to try to harden us. You see, he combines spiritual seeing and thinking with spiritual words that the Holy Spirit breathes lives into as we read them. For God's word is living, which means it continues to bring light to our eyes, truth to our hearts, and it has the ability to judge what's going on down deep inside of us. Coming to us at any point and place where we're discouraged, where we're tempted to doubt, where Satan would love to turn us toward a hardness. And because of that, we come to Holy Week and what he has done for us with a confident hope because of his word, the gift of faith, believing that God told us his son would come, and he did. That we would see miracles that he did. And that we would find help to realize that Jesus' death was far more than just the expedientness that Caiaphas had said. Rather, it was necessary for the whole world, not just for the nation. And that's why John reminds us, God loved the whole world, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. This is where our eyes can be enlightened and see the beauty of what God is doing in that amazing week before Christ died for us. Let's pray together silently.